We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you're buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Getting Real with Bossy. We are your hosts, Kelly Bush.
And Kelly Metris.
Can I speak with IT?
Ooh, that's me.
Can I speak with the HR department?
That's me.
I'd like to speak with training and oversight.
She's right here, this girl.
Ring, ring. I need to speak with the owner, the research and development team.
That's me. Actually, you've got me.
Hi, I need to speak with the marketing team.
So, she's right here.
Hi, I'm looking for finances and accounting.
Oh, let me transfer you to here.
Hi, I'm looking for sales.
Here.
Purchasing?
Me.
Customer service?
And this girl.
Public relations?
Hang on, let me see. That's me.
Admin?
Yep, still me.
Crisis management.
Yep, still me.
Janitorial.
Sometimes me.
General maintenance.
Me.
Plumber.
You just fill them out. I don't want to be a plumber. I don't want to be an electrician. I don't want to be a carpenter, but sometimes that's me.
So I'm getting the point. Legal?
So not usually me. But on that one, it's me until I need an actual lawyer. It's me to figure out, do I have all my stuff? Do I need to pay for a lawyer? It's me deciding if I need more legal. It's actually, I would say that legal is actually the same as the plumbing, electrician, and carpentry.
Right.
It's new until you need to call in. There's certain things that you're like, okay, I'm at my end. I can't, I'm going to do more damage here.
Right. It's you until YouTube fails. it's you until YouTube fails you.
Yeah. How do we change our toilet on a Friday night?
Are you telling me, Kelly, that business ownership is not as glamorous as people let you think it was when you started this all out?
Being your own boss has its perks. not glamorous at all. I'd actually say that something that people don't acknowledge about small business owners is that we're fucking experts in a lot of things because we have to be.
Right. And who prepared you for all that?
The School of Hard Knocks. Yes. Thankfully, there's no tuition. It's just loans for the business.
It's just debt. Just debt.
It's a different kind of debt.
A different kind of debt. It's the kind we make ourselves.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Kelly,
the host of Getting Real with Bossy, the real, raw, and honest podcast about small business ownership. With our experience, 9 businesses and over 25 years, we continue to bear it all and share what we wish we had known.
We move past the must-be-nices and start getting real. Come along as we interview small business owners and get the true story.
Leave with another tool for the next time you feel alone on this journey.
You know, we always say when we kind of do our Bossy introduction, why we created Bossy was because you start your business because it's the thing that you're passionate about, the thing that you're good at, the thing that you inherit sometimes. It's the thing that you know really well. You don't always know the things that you have to do that are a part of running a business. And there's just so much. And, you kind of know peripherally, you're going to have to know HR if you're going to have employees. You're going to have to know some legal stuff. You're going to have to know some accounting. But how many times have you unplugged a toilet or fixed?
Oh, my God. My favorite are when people actually ask those questions.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, who do I call for your IT department? Like when they're installing like a new system, I'm like, you don't have to call anybody. I'm standing right here. Or you can talk to my partner. Yeah, it's one of us. Like you're it. I don't have a fucking IT department.
I just love when they say anything department. Like, what department? HR department? Like, what department? We are a building. Like, you see you can see the entire building with your two eyes. What department do you think is hiding in this building? Like, it's insane. The kitchen department or the bar department?
I wouldn't be standing here talking to you. Right. They would be standing here talking to you.
It's so
bizarre.
When
the owner's standing there taking in the new whatever that's getting put in, like, it's me. Mm-hmm. This is the department.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people can hire out when they can afford it. But if you're starting out, especially, or you're just in tight margins, like, you have to buck it up. And we talk about organizing. I am the department.
I'm making this into a shirt. It just says, I am the department. Like, so I am the department.
Kelly just held up a handwritten sign that said, I am the department. What was I saying? Oh, so yeah, you have to do it and it's necessary. And we talk about organizing our to-do list, but a lot of those things we just talked about are important things we have to do.
Right.
It could be as simple as a toilet, but it also could be as big as, you know, strategic planning and financial planning and, you know, all of the good things, purchasing, development. You have to do them. They're vital to your business. So mm-hmm. you can't just write them off. And you know what I love? How much we go from one to the other.
Well, and also we go from one to the other so quickly, and they're not often things that they're part of our planned day, because the things that go wrong that we have to fix that are not our job, and I'm using quotes right there, they don't happen. It's not like, oh, it's planned. That's my 3 o'clock. It's my 3 o'clock when the toilet blew up. My 3 o'clock when, you know, the lights went, the, you know, 5 o'clock when the POS goes down on a Friday night, you know, that's not how that works. Those things that are not our job. It's not why we went into this. Those things don't happen on scheduled time.
And it's exhausting. It's exhausting to not know what you're doing next. It's exhausting to constantly be in the middle of something and have to switch and then figure out what the frick you were doing. You're like, huh, I was doing something before I had to go do that. It seemed important because I was doing it. Like, what was it? It's like having all of the tabs open on your computer.
Right. And usually those things are the things that you're doing to actually grow your business that get disrupted mm-hmm. by the other things that
right.
are your job.
Right. The immediate things. Mm-hmm. So which one of these surprised you most, Kelly?
Probably, you know, the things that I've learned that I actually have now become a mild expert at that I've learned from you. Like, I can do things. Things don't freak me out. Like the other night, like, why is there a do not disturb out of order sign on the bathroom? They're like, well, the handle's broken. I'm like, there's handles, like there's boxes of handles, because this is what you do when you own a restaurant. When you have to buy one handle kit, you buy six handle kits, because that's, you know, you just do that because you know you're going to need six at some point. I'm like, there's handle kits in the basement. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. I'm like, well, YouTube does. Like, that surprised me. Like, I know how to do that now because there is a YouTube channel. There's 17 YouTube channels. You find the one, and I will gravitate to one that, you know, usually is a woman putting it together, because she's going to speak in terms that I know, and not, you know, it's just going to be the one that I tend to gravitate to. And there's usually six of them. And I now know how to do that stuff. And I am very surprised how that stuff does not, I have no fear of doing that stuff now. To rewire a light, but, you know, in the heat of the moment where that stuff would terrify me in a moment, I'm like, I can do that. And I just jump at it now. What about you?
I would say in the 15 plus years of business ownership, I've never had somebody walk up to me and be like, oh my God, this happened, and not just been like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, just go fix it. And I've never been like, oh, we'll wait till tomorrow. And even if it's something as big as, you know, a cooler going down, I still have to fix it. And the fact that I'm going to troubleshoot it, mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure it's broken and it's not something stupid. And I have to troubleshoot what we're going to do with all the stuff that's there and how we're going to move it. Right. So it's like, you just act, and then everyone thinks you just know how to do these things. I'm like, I've never done this before, but I'll just have to do it
mm-hmm.
because we need it done. Like, it just needs to get done. And I don't think that people outside of business ownership appreciate, even our employees, like how many things we're just doing on the fly that we've never done before.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, I guess I'm doing this today. And yeah. I do have a running joke that if I dress up for work, I will definitely clean up a plumbing mess.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm pretty sure every time I've dressed nice at the restaurant during service, I've had to clean up plumbing of some sort.
Yeah.
So either I do not.
I'm on dish duty. Right.
Right. Yeah, definitely done dishes. But the plumbing, like the mopping and the grossness. And I'm like, oh, yeah, because I'm wearing a dress today. That's great. Definitely done dishes in a dress. But yeah, for me, I always talk about it was taxes. I'm sure they teach you that in business school. I didn't go to business school. I was not prepared for taxes.
I hate it.
The different taxes we pay on different things and avoid doing the most.
I avoid, you know what I avoid? And it's so silly because we're pretty good at it, but like the conversations with, if they're listening, and I know they're not, but like the health department and places like that, like we're pretty good about stuff like that. We're pretty on top of it. And I always know like people like the tip when if we get audited, like we get audited all the time for stuff, you know, because it's just part of when you have payroll and alcohol sales, like you get audited for things like that. And I know like we're pretty honest and we do things mostly right and as right as we can. And I have been taught and I know that if you just acknowledge you're doing the best you can, you're mostly going to come out okay. But I get so offended and so defensive. I have to walk away. And literally, I'm very lucky that Don, my partner, is very good in those situations because I just can't handle it. And I just get so, I can't do that job. When they come in, I have to get out of there. I get so anxious and like, because I don't know. It's
like the way when you have a police car behind you. Like, yeah. I'm not doing anything wrong.
Right. I haven't done anything wrong. Why are you judging me? God.
Oh my God, I'm going to get pulled over. Like, there's no reason why I should be thinking that. But still, yeah, I totally understand the feeling.
Yeah. Like, we had the health department come in the other day, and they just walk in, and they have a job to do, and I get that. But they walk in, they don't say anything, and my bartender was like, I'm not going to say anything to them. I'm like, you're not going to be rude to them. Or like, they're being rude to me. I'm like, oh my God, this is not how we're going to do this. I'm like, I'm already anxious. I'm going out for lunch.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't piss off the people in charge of whether or not we stay open.
Right. But yeah, I just, that stuff, I just can't, I don't know. I don't like it. What about you?
I would say I don't want to touch electrical, but I'll do it. Like, if I had to do it, I know to turn the fuse off. I know to, you know, make sure I'm connecting the right wires and that I know the basis of it, but I'm scared that I'm going to do it wrong. Like plumbing, if I do plumbing wrong, it's going to like be gross, but it's not going to just like set on fire.
Right.
Which, and I don't think that I would set anything on fire, but that's like the thing I'm the most scared of having to do is if I had to like rewire something, then I would be. But I would do it. I would still do it. I would just not be happy about it.
Right. Yeah.
So it's exhausting.
It is so exhausting.
And then I love when I'm in the middle of something and it's not just that all of these other things come up, but the constant pivot, which we already touched on, like the phone calls, the emails. Like I go into my emails to do something and I'm like, whoa, I got a catering order and now I have this and I have that. And I'm like, but I came in to do something and now I don't know what I came in to do. Or I'm having we'll touch on this later. I think my fight or flight is kicking in because I was so busy with our busiest week of the year that I let my emails lag. And now I'm at like 400 in my inbox, which I like to keep under 50. And
544.
I just, every time I open it, I'm like, I can't do this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm probably missing something so important. And I try to like skim and it just stresses me out. I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this right now. It's like when my daughter sends me reels. There's a point where she's sent me too many and then she's going to know I just watched the one from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because I have to comment and let her know I watched it. But then I'm like, oh my God, there's too many. Like I don't have time for this. Like, I can't just watch one because then she'll know I didn't watch the other ones. So yeah, I feel the same way about my emails. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing. It's real.
Yeah.
It's a brain response. It's a traumatic brain response. It's how we stay alive as human beings. And there's a term for it, Kelly. We're here to talk about it for real.
Tell us what it is.
It's called decision fatigue. And I would like to argue that decision fatigue needs to be restudied post-2020.
I would agree.
So they estimated that and this is before 2020, the average adult makes 35,000 decisions a day.
Yeah.
From the time they go to bed.
That's horrible.
Obviously, the higher up your position is at work, the more decisions you're making. So business owners, I don't want to count, but it's got to be at least double. Like, it's just all day constant. And it actually affects your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that in people in leadership positions are said to make 139 significant decisions every week. Like, super important.
Right.
And that is just in leadership positions. So like basic management. And again, as your role goes up, the amount of significant decisions you have to make every week also goes up. And the stress behind that also goes up. So we go into fight or flight mode.
Mm-hmm.
So we wake up, we're fresh-ish, we have our coffee, we start, we're doing good. And then all of a sudden, it kicks in. And I think that it kicks in faster the more fatigued you are on a regular basis. It's kind of like a stress response, right? Like if you're in hyper pivot mode, hyper stress mode, you're going to be more sensitive each day. So we go into fight or flight. You go into fight mode, you're going to be impulsive, reckless, hasty. Or you get like my emails where you're just procrastinating and you just avoid it and you go into freeze mode and you're like, I can't. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's intense.
It's terrible. And I think that's why we need routines. I think morning routines are huge. Anything we can do to lessen those moments where we have to make decisions, starting with routines. And I think, you know, I used to make fun of people, not make fun of people, but question the validity of people that would go in and they have, you know, their mantras written on the bathroom mirrors and things like that. But that stuff, it gets you in a routine in the morning and it's very focused. And I think that really does affect that and play into the decision fatigue. Like, you have your morning routines and it kind of sets your day.
Well, the heads of large corporations and presidents, they wear the same thing every day. And if they're not wearing the same thing, someone else picked out their clothes. They get up and they put the clothes on. They eat the same thing every day. They eat the thing, they move on, right? So it's not making those decisions to start because they need to save the mental wavelength. And they know this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why. And if we don't acknowledge it, we're going to do the easiest option.
Right.
Wherever that falls in your fight or flight. And that's not usually the good one.
You know, my mom picked out my dad's outfit every day. She put his like hair stuff out, like his brush and his toothbrush out, and had his breakfast out. I mean, he had cereal and coffee every morning. And he was very successful. I think they were onto something.
Well, then you think about like the stereotypical, the dad comes home and like the 1950s movies and the wife's got everything made and the kids aren't allowed to talk to him and he takes his bourbon into the other room and smokes his cigars because he was decision fatigued. But what hasn't changed is now both parents are working.
Right.
Right. So who's relieving your fatigue if you don't have Betty Wife over here? Like we all need a wife, apparently, a 1950s housewife to take care of things. So when we come home from work, we can actually decompress.
Uh-huh.
We can't do that.
Well, we need it, the Jetsons time. We need to speed forward and get a Rosie.
Fair. We do need to automate. That's one of the ways we can address our decision fatigue. And Jetsons would be amazing. If we had a Rosie,
mm-hmm.
they don't think about what they wear. They just go through the little machine. It dresses them.
Yeah.
They pull up to the table. The food's there. They're not. They don't think about it.
I need a Rosie. Write that down.
But yeah, this not getting addressed, it leads to depression mm-hmm. and mental exhaustion, right? So you're going to feel drained. And when you feel like that constantly, your physical body is going to respond.
Right.
You're going to end up sick. You're going to end up hurt. You're going to end up not able to move. And then for parents, like, and I'm not going to dig on the dads, but when mom comes home from work, there are so many decisions to still be made.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just on you. And dad comes home from work, it doesn't happen the same. Or even like if I'm at my desk and the kids come home from school, like they can see me working. Sometimes I'm even on a call and they just come in and mama, 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 mama. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like my brain needs, I have to get rid of my home office because I have to have at least, you know, a 5-minute drive home from somewhere to break between work mode and home mode because my brain hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do? We go on social media.
No.
And
it's
everyone's
the worst.
Like, oh. Or like you play a game and people say, oh, it's to take a break. It's not. Your brain, no. That's not helping. It's making it worse.
Hello, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Don. Looking for the perfect venue for your next event? We have what you need at the Union Tavern Restaurant and Event Space in Seabreeze.
Whether you're planning a large celebration for up to 120 guests or need a cozy, intimate space, we've got you covered. Check out the Brad Street, our hidden gem speakeasy, perfect for gatherings of up to 20 people.
With reasonable pricing, an exciting and inclusive menu, and no reservation fees for weekday groups, the Union Tavern makes hosting your event easy and affordable.
Celebrate in style right here at the Union Tavern.
Book today at the Union Tavern Seabreeze. com.
So what can we do to make it better?
I actually saw something that I love, and that is to use GPS, which my husband hates because he thinks it's making us all dumber. Which he might not be right. I don't care. I used to know how to get everywhere without a map, but I don't really care anymore because I had way less decisions to make back then.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun to use my brain. My brain's like, fuck you, Kelly, stop. So having GPS is great because you don't have to think, oh, there's a traffic jam. Oh, there's an accident. Oh, which way am I going to go now? It's just even like on short things, just which I've been using it a lot lately and I didn't realize it was helpful. Just like I'm in a hurry and I'm like, what's the quickest way to get there? Like I know how to get there, but if there's a quicker way, I'm going to see what GPS tells me, see what my Google Maps says, right?
That's so smart.
So I love that.
So we need little ways to like GPS our life, like little streamlining ways.
Well,
you know, and I think too, there are things like decisions that we are unconsciously making. And it's these things that we're doing to ourselves unconsciously. And it's when we're on our own, when we're not engaged with other people, when we're driving, you're having those internal monologues, you're having conversations, whether you're driving to work. I do it all the time where I'm like, oh, I got to have this conversation with somebody. How am I going to do it? And I'm having these conversations and working them through. They don't need to happen. There's some things you want to think about ahead of time, but so many things, and those are the things that exhaust me. Honestly, and I have found I've got like four people that I know that I can call when I'm in the car that are going to answer the phone. Because let's be honest, people just don't answer the phone anymore. And I get that. But I need to stop like overthinking in the car. It has become such like I get out of the car sometimes and I'm exhausted, or I will get to work. And I know I've sent you pictures of me sitting outside of work and I'm like, somehow I'm exhausted and I can't even get into work because I've just mentally exhausted myself by all the conversations I've had in the 15-minute drive to work. And I'm now exhausted, too exhausted to go into work, that I just have to sit outside. And now I have like this core group of people that I can call and just be like, I need to talk for 15 minutes so I don't overthink my life. And I just have these pleasant conversations. And it's been such a nice change in my life where I'm not like overthinking or like having this conversation, uncomfortable conversation, or thinking about something I have to do that is just ridiculous and such a waste of time. And it's been such a game changer for like those 15 minutes, sometimes the 20-minute drive to the restaurant and depot that I have to do, where I'm like, I hate this chore that I have to do. I'm saving money and I'm saving labor to do this. Because those are the times where I have these ridiculous inner monologues that are adding to this decision fatigue.
Yeah, I 100% work on a drive.
Mm-hmm.
100%. I'm constantly like writing things on my hands or like at a stop sign, like quickly like texting it to myself or like jotting it down.
What receipt do I have hanging somewhere where I can write this note down? I'm like, I will not do it anymore. I'm using this time to just have a conversation with my mom, my aunt, my friend in Minnesota, or like these three other people that I can call. My sister is now retired, so she's on the list. So get some people on your list that just will answer the phone. Even if it's somebody you don't necessarily want to talk to, just somebody that will answer the phone.
And I did a new thing recently, and I didn't do it on purpose. But once we started talking about this and looking into it more, I make dinner on Sunday and Monday, and that's it. And the rest of the week, I don't give a shit what you eat. I took it so seriously for so long because I have so much mom guilt that I needed to feed my kids. And like feeding my kids dinner was the thing I had to do. And I had to make sure everything was always planned out. And they were a lot younger then. So it's helpful that they're older and they can microwave chicken nuggets or they can make a ham sandwich or, you know, they love making eggs. So I make two dinners. Sometimes if I know I'm busy, I make two dinners in one day and that's it. That's my cooking for the week. And everybody can choose from leftovers or they can make a plethora of other options. But they're going to do it themselves, right? And I don't care. And I don't care because I'm like, Aaron will be home at night and I don't plan on it and I'm not there, but I had a dinner planned and then he comes home and he feeds them something stupid. Then I'm all stressed out and mad because I bought this food and it has to get... No.
Good.
I make two dinners and that's it. It's amazing. It has taken so much stress off my plate. Of being like, I literally don't know if they ate dinner. I don't care anymore. I'm like 1980s. I don't care.
They're not hungry. They're going to take care. They're fine.
They're eating.
Trust me,
they're going through the food that's in my house.
Exactly. Oh, that's so smart.
Every day. I was like, I'm going to the store. What do you need? They were like, food. We don't have any food in this house. And I was like, oh my God, there is so much food in this house. I was like, okay, like write down what you want. And you know what they wrote down? Bags. I want sourdough pretzels. I want on brand this. I was like, this is all snack food. There is not a single item on here you can eat for a meal.
There's no food in your food.
There's no food in your food. I was like, whatever, here you go. They were like, you bought it all. And I was like, yeah, I don't care. I don't care anymore. And it's amazing.
Good. Oh, I'm proud of you.
Find your thing. Whether it's, you know, your drive or you're making dinner or find your thing and find a way to get rid of it. Just something. And we've talked about this before, the delegation and the taking things off your list. And we're going to talk about it again because it's important and we're going to break and reckon on it. And it's, you got something you got to talk about, right? And we got to rest and regroup. Talked about that before.
All those things are important. Yeah. Listen to the episode we just did recently about your archetype, learning who you are, how your brain works. Super important. Building your team. All that stuff is so important, and it will help with all of this.
Yeah. And when you make your list, prioritize. There's a one thing that's called the one post-it rule. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about various different ways to organize your to-do list, but you have one thing that's important every day. You know, if you got swooped onto an airplane for an emergency off somewhere, what is the thing that still had to happen? The rest of it can wait.
Right.
So do the one thing. So the American Medical Association, AMA, states that the more choices a person has to make, the more likely they are to fail, to give up, to lose willpower, and to struggle physically.
Interesting.
So you're all business owners or leadership or whatever you are in your lives. I hit hard. The more likely you are to fail.
We got to take it easy on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We need permission.
We do need permission. I actually was at therapy with one of my kids the other day, and she wanted me to come in and talk about something. I don't know how we got on it, but I was literally like, I can't wait to not have to make a decision. And my kid, who's young, was like, well, what do you mean? Like everything. I was like, everything. Like, I don't want to make decisions about anything anymore. And I'm like, I don't know. This lady is probably looking at me like I have three heads. She's like, you need some therapy yourself, but whatever. And my kid was like, what about vacations? I was like, I don't care. I don't care anymore. And she goes, fine, we're going back to Aruba. And I was like, cool. Are you paying? Like, set it up. I was like, I don't care. I don't care. Because Aruba was not my favorite vacation, but it was beautiful. And if it gets me out of Dodge, take me. I don't care. So maybe I do need to talk to my therapist again.
Always good for a little revisit.
Right? Something else I wanted to share is Netflix paralysis and how that ties in. So I not very often at all. Intermittently have a small period of time by myself. And every time I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch something. So it keeps me from like doing things. And I turn on the TV and I turn on some streaming app and I'm like, shit, And I'll try a different app. And you like, I literally, and this is probably not for everyone, I literally get Netflix paralysis. Like I am like, there's too many choices. And you know what I do? I turn on Air TV to some random show from like the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I go on UXXI and whatever they're playing that day. And I'm like, this will work. This is fine. Like I don't have, because when you turn on the Air TV, you don't have a choice. You have like five options. And that, my friends, is why TikTok became so famous. and mm-hmm. so popular. So while we talk about our own brain, I think we can also use that on the other side to improve our business, understanding how our brains work. And we're not the only people with the fatigue, with the globalization, the social media increases, and everybody post 2020 is in so much and everything's so dire, important and divisive and, you know, top tier that just the average person is making more decisions and is exhausted.
Right.
So you go on TikTok and they just tell you, you pull it up. That's one video. Next video. Mm-hmm. And it just keeps, right. You make zero decisions.
Yeah.
And that's why people love it. Mm-hmm. So work that into your business.
Yeah. Make it easy on people. Tell them what they need, why you're important, why you solve problems. What can you do for them? And make it sweet, quick, and simple. And embrace that world. You have to embrace the AI world. You have to embrace the TikTok world and the short and sweet and simple.
Well, yeah. And, you know, we have plenty of people. I understand why they hate AI.
Yeah.
Here and sometimes, you know what? I hate medications, but I'm on antidepressants and they're fucking amazing.
I hate Amazon, but you know what? I needed a cat recovery suit overnight because my new cat that I just had to get, that we had to rescue, won't wear a cone. So guess what?
No.
I needed it overnight and nowhere around here has a cat recovery suit. So I had to get life is just not about what I want a homestead. I want to grow and make my own food. I also mm-hmm. am not a, you know what you have to do for that? Be a fucking millionaire. I'm sorry. It's really expensive to do that.
Oh, are you kidding me? Every year at the end of the season, I look at Aaron and I'm like, we would have died again.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. There are a lot of things that I would love to do that I just am morally opposed to that I just have to have in my life. It is just how it is. I don't love what AI is all about. Guess what? You have to, it is part of the world. You have to get on board. Sorry.
And use it to your advantage.
Exactly.
Know your type.
AI knows the algorithms because it is part of the algorithms. It's part of the mm-hmm. system that you are trying to figure out.
Like, hey, maybe you just need to ask AI, be like, listen, these are my traits. I'm a business owner. How can I use AI to streamline my life?
Mm-hmm.
Use your archetype. Be like, this is the type of person I am. I bet it would tell you.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, I'll pay you $5. So email me at bossyrock@gmail.com.
Yes, we will. I think we have that in the budget.
So yeah, I think that burnout is hidden, right? We say that we're working all the time because we're hustling. We're trying to be successful. We're trying to make it work. We put everything in. But really, it's you're killing your insides.
You're making yourself sick.
Yeah.
Mentally and physically.
And is that saving you money, right? So yeah, you're saving money by doing all of these things yourself, but what's the long-term cost?
You're going to hate your business.
Yeah. You're going to I'm trying to think of the word, but hate totally encompasses it, where you start mm-hmm. to just pull in the driveway and you can't get out of your car. You come home and you can't be with your family. You can't be present. Resent. That was the mm-hmm. word I was looking for. You're going to resent it because it's keeping you from the life that you were trying to build for yourself.
Right.
So you need to align it to what you're trying to do.
Yeah, this is the year of alignment.
It is the year of alignment.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't even mean it.
Yeah, my ankle has aligned.
See?
Uh-huh. My ankle has fused. I am aligned. Now we all need to get our businesses and our brains aligned. Well, I don't know that my brain's ever going to align, but I'm going to get the rest of it aligned. I'm going to get as much aligned as possible.
Selena's Mexican Restaurant, we are proud to be Rochester's favorite place for all of life's celebrations. Family owned and operated since 1998, we believe that great food brings people together. From fun Mexican-inspired dishes and delicious handcrafted margaritas to our monthly tequila classes, we love creating experiences you'll remember. With private event options, corporate team building, and 24/7 catering, we've got you covered no matter what life throws your way. Visit us at salinas.com, salenas.com.
You're not superhuman.
No.
Ooh. Ooh, speaking of superheroes, let's put it in geek mode.
Yeah, I love geek mode.
for us Avenger fans, what would have happened to Iron Man if he never had Captain America on his team?
Failure. Burnout. I
mean, really, Civil War is a great movie. What about the Hulk without Black Widow? That's an angry man.
Mm-hmm.
And then honestly, like Black Widow without Hawkeye. Like, you need to find the people who not match, complement, mm-hmm. the people who complement your brain wiring, your archetype, and get them on your team so that you can have them help you. Because that's how you become superhuman, is because you have a superhuman team.
Right. You need that strength. You need that support.
And then they can make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Let them make decisions.
Well, you make decisions together. You brainstorm.
And boundaries. Let's talk boundaries really quick. You don't have to be available 24/7. Let that sit. You don't have to be available 24/7. If somebody emails you, you can get back to them tomorrow. I know I've talked before about the saving grace of my automated email response, mm-hmm. which my husband hates. I'm like, then just text me.
It goes back to him.
I'm like, you have my phone number. Just text me. But like, the freedom that gave me, mm-hmm. and I'm trying a new thing this week. This week, I tried a new focus mode on my phone that when I'm in work mode, certain people can get through. And when I'm in home mode, certain people can get through. And that doesn't mean that I don't get the notification on my phone. It means that my phone doesn't buzz. My watch doesn't buzz. So I can look down and be like, oh, yeah, I got a notification. And right now is a good time for me to check it. But when I'm in the middle of things and I'm constantly getting pulled and switched and pivoting, by 2 o'clock, I'm like mush.
Right.
I just can't do it. So I'm trying it this week. I'll let you guys know how it works.
Amazing. You don't have to make the decision to check it. I love it.
Or I do make the decision. But either way, it's my control.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's nice.
So we'll see.
Cool.
We'll see.
I love it.
So you're allowed. You're allowed.
Yeah.
You're allowed to grow. You're allowed to put up boundaries. You're allowed to make less decisions. You're allowed to take care of yourself. You're allowed to be a human being. You are not a robot, so use the robots for the other things.
You're allowed to not wear all the hats.
I was going to say the same thing. Yes. You're allowed to take some of those hats off and throw them out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of the hat rack.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it's not even a hat rack. It's like the person at the carnival that like stacks the hats and they just keep throwing a hat on top. And it's like, this gets taller and taller and taller with all these different hats. That's us. That's us running around trying to do it all. And guess what? As soon as we tip, all the hats fall.
Yep.
So get rid of some of those hats.
Yeah. Because when we start, we have to wear them all. You don't have to wear them forever.
Yep. You don't have to wear them forever. So think about what hat you're wearing that you wear too much. Share it with us. Please. We love to keep this conversation going.
I just got distracted because now I'm thinking of this shirt that I want to do like a carnival and we're tossing the hats like a ring toss. Sorry. I got really distracted because now I want to make that hat.
So what was that archetype we talked about last episode? The visionary.
The visionary. I know, I can't stir it. Oh, my God. I'm throwing this paper. Look at me. Throwing it like the hat. I just threw it. I'm not going to do that. Focus.
Don't put another hat on.
No, I just took that hat off. Look at me. I'm growing already. I just decided to not do that. I feel lighter already.
See?
It's hard. It is hard. All right. I'm back.
Are you sure?
I think so. It's hard. I get ideas a lot.
But they're good ideas. That was a great idea.
Yeah, but I don't. No, it doesn't.
I give you permission, Kelly.
Thank you. We're going to make a permission slip. We're going to make a permission slip because we need permission. And we're going to let you guys download it from our website. And you're going to fill it out for yourself and you can give it to your team. You can give it to your partner. You can give it to your kids. You can give it to your mom. You can give it to your whomever. And it's going to give you permission to do the thing that you need to do. Give yourself time and space. Give yourself permission to not make some decisions for a little while and give yourself a little bit of a break because you deserve it.
All right. On this day, May 17th, 2026, I, Kelly Metris, give myself permission to let things go, to ask for help, to take care of my mind and body, and to acknowledge my decision fatigue and work to decrease it in whatever way I need, even if it makes my 16-year-old mad.
You get a slow clap for that? Amazing. Oh, love it. Amazing. That's wonderful.
All right, listeners, download a permission slip.
Yes.
Make it your own. Hang it on your wall. Put it on your bathroom mirror. And do what you need to do, because you're not going to get anything done if you're in fight or flight mode all of the time.
That's right.
Follow us at Bossy Rochester. Email us at bossyrock@gmail.com. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. And share with us your ideas. Come be on the show. We love having people on. So we get so many people emailing us all the time, and we have a bunch of great things coming up. So if you want to be on the show, email us or DM us or whatever your mode of communication is. We're here.
Excellent. Be bold.
Be brave.
Be the boss.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.